Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's indeed another beautiful day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Anybody in here glad today? Being glad in it means regardless of what you're going through, you have a reason to be glad. No matter what the tests say, what your grades say, what your parents said, before you walked in here, you have a reason to be glad. And we're just glad to be with you today. I'm humbled for the opportunity to stand before you on these next 2 days as we explore and enter into Black History Week and Black History Month. It's a great honor to stand at CIU. There's a rich tradition here. And in fact, the reason you haven't come to our church yet, sir, is because Nate Brock, who invited you to Mulberry, did not extend the invitation when he was working at Jehovah. So it's his fault. But I'll correct it. We're not going to be before you long. I think that Dr. Rogers said I have 25 minutes. So I'm setting my timer for 25 minutes. Oh, it's there. There's no timer there. It's counting down?
It will.
Oh, okay. Well, good. An interesting theme that was given to me with two very interesting verses, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And we will be wrestling with those over the course of the next 2 days. Today, we're going to look at the first verse, John chapter 13, verse 34. And the series, because they told me I had to name a series when doing this for the video purposes, the series for the next 2 days is Love Lessons. Love Lessons. Love Lessons. So today, if you have your Bible, you have your app, open it up. We're going to look quickly at John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. And it reads simply like this. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It reads like this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So for the next couple of minutes, I want to preach from the thought, the love dare. The love dare. Will you pray with me? Father, it's preaching time. Your people need to hear your voice. Speak clearly to them. Speak clearly with clarity so that their hearts may be pierced and they may transform into who you created them to be. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might love what thou dost love and do what thou wilt do. It's in the mighty name of the Master we pray. Amen. The love dare. There's a story about a young man who was dating a young woman. He was dating this young woman, and this young woman was blind. She had the inability to see, and he asked her to marry him. He said, listen, baby, I love you regardless of your condition. Will you marry me? And she said, I can't marry you because I want to be able to see the person I marry. 2 days later, she received a letter in the mail saying there has been a donation of eyes for you. We can do a cornea transplant and you will be able to see. So she immediately jumped on the opportunity. Her boyfriend by her side the whole time. Rehabilitationists take place and they begin to unwrap her eyes after she's recovered. And she sees that the man she loves is also blind. So again, he says, baby, you now can see. Will you marry me? She says, baby, I know we've been together for a while, but I can't marry you because you're blind. Weeks passed by, months passed by, and all of a sudden, she receives a letter in the mail. The letter is from her boo, and the letter says, "Listen, baby, I know you've moved on. I really hope we could be together forever. I love you. P.S. Please take care of my eyes." Many of us have found ourselves in situations where the love we expressed was not returned. Anybody ever been there? You had somebody you loved. You would do anything for, but when it was your turn, it was not, y'all don't want to admit it. Y'all don't want to be real. Oh, everybody you've ever loved loved you back. Oh, okay. Well, I want to be part of y'all crew. When I come down, I'm sitting with y'all. But the reality is, for most of us, we've loved without love being returned, and that's difficult. And so we're in a season now where it seems across the country that love is not being returned in the way it's expressed. However, our text suggests that we must be able to love, not according to how people love us, but according to how Jesus loved us. It's a difficult text, and it's befitting because it's coming from the book of John. I know I have Bible scholars in here, MDivs, DMins, bachelor's degrees of Christian education, so please be gentle with me. I'm a novice at this. But the reality is John is not a part of what we know as the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John was written a few years after, and it presents a different spin. In fact, John doesn't begin his gospel by talking about the genealogy of Christ because that's not important to the audience he's reaching. He begins by saying, "In the beginning was the, and the Word was, and the Word," yeah, and then verse 14, it says, "The Word became," there you go. So he presents Jesus as fully God, fully man, the man sent from God, and Jesus does ministry in chapters 2 through 12 publicly. It's divine demonstration, but then chapters 13 through the rest of the Bible, he does some disciple development. So the first 11 books after chapter 1, he's doing public displays. That chronicles 3 years. But John realizes that the people reading his book need some more disciple development. They need some more development on how to truly live like him. So he spends chapter 13 through chapter 19, which really encapsulates one 24-hour period. He's teaching, he's preparing. Because the reality is, we need to know more about Jesus in the day we live. So Jesus in chapter 2 performs the first miracle, which is turning water into wine. In chapter 3, he meets Nicodemus and tells Nicodemus, "You must be born." And then he quotes that famous scripture that we all learned, "For God so loved the world that he, his only begotten son, that believeth in him shall not perish, but have," there you go. Chapter 4, he ministers to a woman at the well. And chapter 5, he heals a man that was lame for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, he feeds the multitude, then walks on water. Chapter 8, he releases a woman who's been accused of being caught in the very act of adultery. By the time we get to chapter 11, he performs his last miracle, which is the raising of his friend Lazarus from the grave. All these things happen fast paced. So by the time we get to chapter 13, he's now investing his time with his disciples, telling them that the key to them being successful is to love. I call it the love dare, even though he makes it a command, because the reality is it's challenging to love. Have you ever encountered somebody that challenges you to love them? Okay, y'all are quiet. Have you ever met that person that no matter how you try, it's impossible to love them? You go out of your way. You open the door for them. "I can open the door for myself." You let them go ahead of you. "No age before beauty." You try to take notes from them. "I don't need your notes. I took them myself." And the reality is we all encounter people who are challenging the love. So the question we're going to wrestle with for the next couple of minutes is how do you overcome the challenges of love? Well, the first way you overcome the challenges of love is you must know that love requires compassionate covering and cleaning. Compassionate covering and cleaning. It's not there, but right before we get to our text of the day, Jesus performs a very crucial act. He washes the feet of his disciples. In the upper room, he prepares a basin, he unclothes himself, he girds himself in a towel, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. I know you're saying, well, why is that important? What's that got to do with love? Well, when you care about somebody, you want to make sure they're covered and cleaned. What do I mean? Well, Peter, being Peter, said, listen, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, well, to be complete, you must have your feet washed if you want to follow me. Peter says, well, then wash my head and my hands. Jesus says, well, if you take a bath, that other stuff will be taken care of, but you still need your feet washed. I see you're not getting it yet. See, they in those times would walk around with sandals on. And in their normal walking, they would accumulate dirt. Now, oftentimes, even today, we find ourselves stepping in dirty situations that we don't necessarily know to be dirty until somebody who cares about us enough tells us we're dirty. Okay, it's not working. Still not working, Dr. Rogers. Let me see if I can work this thing out. You end up stepping in a situation that you need somebody who loves you to tell you, look, doc, you're dirty. Okay, it's not working over here because everybody loves them. You find yourself in a toxic relationship. You don't know it's toxic because it feels good to you. But you need somebody who loves you enough to pull you to the side and wash the dirt off your feet. You may have a tricky political stance, and you may have infringed on somebody's personal space, and you don't know it until somebody pulls you to the side and tells you you're dirty. See, here's the reality. When you step in dirt, there are only two ways you know it. You see it yourself, or you begin to track it in the lives of others. And many of us have been damaged so long that we don't realize how dirty we are until our dirt negatively impacts somebody else's life. So you need in love to be compassionate enough to not just cover, but to clean. Okay, that didn't work for you. I got you. I understand. Because let me tell you how beautiful Jesus was. Jesus even cleaned the feet of the disciple who was going to betray him. Which means sometimes you got to clean the person, the very person who turns around and tries to destroy you. But you don't do it for them. You do it because that's how you normally and naturally feel, and it's your desire to love. How many of you can do that? How many of you can love the person who you know is talking about you? Who you know is scandalizing your name, who you know has put a Snapchat post up, who has tweeted or Instagrammed an image of you, or has screenshot your text messages when you're dating two girls in two different dorms? That never happened to none of y'all? Okay. Wrong campus. They say you gotta know your audience. Just because it ain't come up in the classroom don't mean it ain't come up in the common area. I'm just saying. Not only does love require you to be compassionate in your covering and cleaning, but love is a challenge because it's contrary to current culture. It's not normal in our day and age. Jesus says this. He says, a new commandment I give to you this day. He says, a new commandment I give. This is Jesus talking, and he's specifically talking to his 11 remaining disciples. Understand this. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to the multitude he fed. He's not talking to the blinded man he healed. He's not talking even to the woman who was at the well, who had husbands who weren't her own. He's talking to his disciples, just 11. And he says, a new commandment I give you today, that you love one another. You heard the president when he was up here talk about those two commandments, to love God and then love your neighbor. But in the terms of neighbor in those days, it just meant those of Jewish heritage. But by the time John was written, they had been spread out. So their neighbor may not be a Jew. Their neighbor may be somebody else, but Jesus's commandment was that you love one another, everybody. You love them whether they look like you or not. You love them whether they believe like you or not. You love them whether they participate in your practices or not. You love them regardless. Why? Because I loved you. And can you be honest that you know the person that God loved when he says he loved you? Okay. Let me see if I make it. If God, I know you look like very academically astute, very engaged college students, but if God was to allow the story of your life to play on full display on the walls around this room, how many of you honestly would want everybody to see every experience you've ever been through? Who in here would want the world to see all your private moments? Who in here would want the world to see all your moments of doubt and fear, all your indiscretions, all your sins? But God loves that person. He loves your unconverted, your unclean, your adulterated, totally transparent self. And he says, that's how I expect you to love one another. So what? We didn't come from the same side of town. I still love you. So what? I've never met you before. I know you like donuts and coffee, had you going out there to get coffee, but I still love you. I may have never met you before, and you may be texting while I'm speaking, but I still love you. It's not contemporary culture, because modern day has always set up devices to divide and conquer us. We have political parties which make us feel like we have to be either right-winged or left-winged. We we're color struck, so we have to believe we have to be a certain color to be affluent or to achieve. We've been divided, but can I tell you, in God's original design, he made us either creator or creation. And so if you're not creator, then you are simply creation, which means we're all on the same level and all deserving of the same love. But I see that didn't move you either, so maybe this is my last point. Maybe that'll get you, because Dr. Rogers, you may not want me back tomorrow. Yes, so the challenge of love is that, first of all, it requires compassionate covering and cleansing. Secondly, it is contrary to current culture. But here's the last reason we have to love, even though it's a challenge, is that it calls us to completely copy Christ. He says, a new commandment I give you this day, that you love one another. Now, in the New King James Version, there's a punctuation mark, a semicolon. But because we're scholars, we know that in the original text, there was no punctuation as such. So he says, love one another as I have loved you. That's how you love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. You love one another. So you, in order to be a disciple, in order to be a Christian, you must copy Christ. You must be willing to copy Christ completely. What's that mean? That means that even in the beginning, when things aren't going your way, you still have to love. Look at God's model. God created heaven and earth. He created Adam and Eve. They sinned. He still loved them. He just moved them. Cain killed Abel. He still loved them. He just moved them. The people sinned, God wiped them out, loved Noah, kept going. Abram sinned, even though when he went down to Egypt, he lied, God still loved him, still blessed him. All throughout history, they kept getting it wrong, but God kept loving them. And even after Malachi, when Jesus decided to wrap himself in flesh and come down and model for them what love looked like, they crucified him. But even through crucifixion, he still loved them, still died for them, still sacrificed for them. And so the question is today, how far are you willing to go to copy the love God has for you? How compelled are you? How in tune are you? How willing are you to love as Jesus loved? I know I said it's a dare, it's a command, but I'm willing today to begin the process. So I don't have a fancy clothes, I don't have a song, but what I do have is a challenge for you today. Right now where you're sitting, I want you to take a look around you. And I want you to see who in here today you have not spoken to, you have not reached out to, you have not said, I love you, you have not said hello even, even in your immediate parameters. As we prepare to dismiss, remember that real love requires compassionate care and covering. Real love is contrary to current customs, and real love calls us to completely copy Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this moment. God, we ask right now that you allow your message to resonate in our hearts, that we stop showing evil, that we only show love, that we love not respecting return, but we love because it's the right thing to do. God, right now, be with us and stand by us. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.